your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Shirley Temple down the drain. Every drop we lose is alcohol abuse.
And that's just a bit of a listen to the brand new single called Alcohol Abuse from my guest, Ontario country artist Marshall Dane. The song is from his current CD, One of These Days. At last year's Country Music Association of Ontario Awards, Marshall was nominated for Male Artist and Album of the Year. He's opened shows for Alan Jackson and Emerson Drive. Let's give a warm in the country welcome now to Marshall Dane. Hey, Marshall.
Hey, brother. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm doing fantastic. I just want to say at the top, I love your intro to your show. Puts a smile on my face.
Oh, thank you so much. That is awesome to hear. Well, you've always got a smile on your face, and one thing people know about you is you've got a positive attitude, a supercharged one.
What do I say to that? I mean, I'm not always 100% on that. I mean, I try to be, though, because, right. I mean, there's so many things that could possibly get you down. So, you know, one thing I learned maybe not even that long ago, maybe just a few years ago, that trying to keep a smile on your face, I mean, sometimes makes you look a little mischievous, but at least even then, it preoccupies somebody else with thinking about maybe instead of their problems, they're like, what's that guy got up his sleeve?
That's so true. And I mean, when we smile, whether we feel like it or not, sometimes you know, you've got to push that smile, but it definitely has an impact on someone else.
Well, yeah, it has an impact on somebody else. And the beautiful thing about even like music or any kind of passion, it comes from the person that you know, one person feels. It's like the paying it forward. It's like the person that pays for your coffee and they're ahead of you in line in the drive-thru. You know, it's like, wow, it started with that person. Now you've got a good vibe. Now you're totally inspired to help somebody or to pass it along, you know, open a door, shake a hand, smile, greet somebody, whatever. And I find that, you know, if I at least can force the smile on myself, it'll in turn make me a positive source of energy. And then the next person that comes along, you know, maybe if they're in a grumpy mood, they'll be like, oh, something rubbed me happy about that person. So, yeah.
That's right. That's awesome. I love that that philosophy or that those thoughts. And it kind of relates to you had an injury last year that a lot of people will know about, and you seem to get through it. I'm sure it wasn't easy. I don't mean to imply that, but you got through it. And I know when I was at the Magna Hoedown, you were on stage performing, I think, in the midst of that injury.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you a funny story. We're just putting together, well, not funny, but a little backstory is that we're just putting together some collections of all our awesome live footage that we were able to gather from 2013, and one of them was the Magna Hoedown show. That was the last show I had before surgery, and I kind of felt like I was walking the green mile because, you know, I even said to my drummer when we were watching the video the other day, I'm like, I was singing for my life because I knew that I was going to be off for a little while. And I was singing as if I had to make one final throw with a hammer, and then that would be whatever I've got until the next time I get a chance to go out there and throw the hammer down. And a little Thor there. And so, you know, I was just about to go into surgery, and my leg was feeling okay. But, of course, I mean, I needed to have the surgery and get fixed. And, you know, that process has reminded me how powerful and how important keeping your head up and keeping your, you know, your smile on, even when it does not feel like you want to, you got to put it on because, you know, some stuff in life is pretty hard, and that was not an easy injury to go through. I mean, I'm still sitting here stretching before I called in to you. So, yeah, man.
when you're doing a regular show and you're not, you know, no injury is part of it, do you have a ritual that you use to psych yourself up? I've heard that some artists do before they go on stage, something to get them in that mindset of performing.
Most definitely. I mean, my theory behind every show is you've got to leave, I heard this expression the other day, but you've got to leave a pint of blood on the stage, you know,
right.
And I believe in leaving, exhausting myself to that very last note. I want to have nothing left and even 10% beyond what I thought I had spent on the stage.
Yeah.
So in order to do that, I was speaking with somebody the other day and we were talking about the value and the importance of good health, good mental health, you know, good eating habits, just little things like that, tips for being a strong human. And
right.
Those things, you know, I find that just before showtime, I have, you know, I want to make sure that my dinner's done and my dinner's settled, all that jazz is taken care of. I'm usually in charge of a lot of organizing backstage and last-minute preps, you know, that's the indie world. So I try and get it to the point that at least a half an hour before showtime, there should be hopefully no more major bugs coming in. And if there are, there's somebody else that can help take care of it. Because come 20 minutes before showtime, I need to really wind down. I need to calm down, slow my heart rate down. And then by about 15 minutes before showtime, I need 10 minutes by myself. 10 minutes where I can, even if it's a crowded room, I'll go into a corner and not be embarrassed at all. But I'll get down and I'll get into just a bit of a kneeling position. I'll put my head in the corner of a room. And I'll concentrate on, you know, slowing down my breath, making sure that my body, you know, my head is centered straight. I do a lot of stretching just before I actually get into that frame of mind. And then after, you know, 5 minutes to showtime, then I'm in that kind of, you know, zen kind of state where I feel like I'm in control of everything that's going on. And the most important job now is to get ready to go out on that stage and deliver with all your power and all your excitement and all your passion, you know, and leave that as the show. That's what you do every time. That's the show.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then, you know, I'm always stretching backstage. I remember Charlie Major introduced me one time. He said, I don't know if this guy's a singer as much as he's an athlete. He's back there stretching his arms. I mean, I was not very athletic, but, I mean, I'm definitely stretching my body out so that the last thing I think about when I'm on that stage is my sore arm or a tight leg or anything like that. I just want to think about the audience and the message I'm giving.
That's amazing. Well, I know from that night at the Magna Hoedown, seeing you perform there, of course, Terry Clark was there that night as well. Your energy level was just terrific, your connection with the audience, and it just felt like a show, as you said, where you're giving it your all. And that's got to be a high, even when you're in the middle of it, not just when it's over, but during that, you must just feel this incredible high looking out at the audience.
I always feel like I'm in the best spot in the house. There's nothing, I mean, it's great to be, I'm sure, like, I mean, I've been in the audience of a great show and I've enjoyed a show.
Yeah.
But when you're in the vortex of the band, when you're in the center of it, and, I mean, the drums, he has to deal with all these crashing cymbals around him. He's just trying to stretch his ears far enough to hear the monitors and what's going on. I always have the greatest balance of live drums right behind me, but I can also hear the drums and the monitors. I've got the excitement of the band on stage. I mean, the rush is what keeps me and every other artist that's had that opportunity coming back for more. It's, you know, it's a very extreme high. That's why it's always exciting when somebody gets invited up on a stage, whether it be to be just a fan singer or enjoy sitting up on stage in the chicken coop, you know, right there in the heat of it, because it's got an energy and a life all its own inside that.
Now, I've got a few tracks to play from your album, One of These Days, and we're going to get to the new single from it called Alcohol Abuse, which is being handled and promoted in the U.S. by Michael Stover. Very exciting. And this song is just terrific, written by a couple of pretty big hit makers, to say the least, Kim Williams and Billy Yates. First of all, can you tell us when you first heard this song, Marshall, and the impression it made on you hearing the demo?
Totally. This was the rule of thumb that I was taught as someone coming into the radio world back in 2009, when you're picking, you know, songs for a record collection, was you've got to if you're going to take a song that somebody else has recorded, it's got to be something you just wish you wrote yourself, a song that just captivates you and makes you feel like, wow, put it through, I used to say, put it through my Danarator, and let's see how it comes out on the other end. Give me a month to just perform this song locally where I live, acoustically, live, and really get into the tune, and let's see how it vibes. Alcohol abuse, when you're in a writing session, a lot of times the guys get a chance to get to know your personality and your singing style and, you know, how you approach a tune. So then they're great people to pitch you other songs. And in this case,
right.
Somebody had pitched me Alcohol Abuse and said, just take a listen to the track and tell me what you think. It's nobody's recorded. It's just sitting here waiting to be recorded by somebody, but just tell me what you think. And I listened to it and instantly fell in love with the tune. At the time that I heard it, I was right in between running stop signs in One of These Days.
Okay.
So as it turned out, I then, when we were putting our collection together for One of These Days, I thought, you know, I keep singing the chorus to this dang song, and I can't believe that, you know, and I kept messing it up, too. The Michelob Band, Hans and Miller Lite, Budweiser, New Kettle Harpoon, Lone Star, Blue Moon, Dos Equis, Amstel, Samuel, Gone to Hell, High Ball, Bloody Mary, Fuzzy Navel, Cookie Story, Mudslide, Margarita, Whiskey Sour, Straight Tequila, Screwdriver, Hurricane, Shirley Temple, Down the Drain. It's just, it's infectious.
Wow.
And
I
thought, you know what? All that, I just don't care. I want to put this song on my record, and I think this song will be a single. We hadn't even had the whole collection yet, but
yep.
Anyways, I was so excited about the tune. I love the track. I love the writing. I love the smile that I feel when I get to sing it. You know, and the bottom line is it's really just about everybody having a good time and somebody spilling their drinks and, you know, and people being goofy about it. So, yeah, it's a great tune, and I'm,
yeah.
Go ahead.
It's so clever, too, not only the writing, of course, even just the title, Alcohol Abuse, because right away people will have one thought about the title, and then you listen to the song, and it twists it around. But also the lyrics in there, I mean, there's part of the chorus people can sing along to probably the first or second time, but I guess it takes a while, as you said yourself, to get all those drinks correct.
Well, I personally feel it's one of those tunes that, it's like any long song, like I'm trying to think of, what's that Bob Dylan tune? Once upon a time, you looked so fine, didn't you? You know, that tune, like so many lyrics. American Pie,
yeah.
So many lyrics.
Yeah.
But you love the challenge of trying to remember them. And
that's
at least,
right.
You know, I do. And in this case, I thought, you know, this is a fun song that would be a challenge and not impossible. And it would be, a doable challenge for,
sure.
For my friends and my fans that enjoy the music to try and learn. And, of course, since we've, put the record out and now the single's going to radio, it'll be a good little contest thing that we can do on stage. I'm looking forward to that.
I love that. That's a great idea. Now, as I mentioned, the song is being promoted in the U.S. and also in Canada and internationally?
Yeah, we're actually staggering. And, again, this is part of the, indie guerrilla style trying to, navigate through the industry. We're staggering our releases. So we'll have the U.S. release goes out today. In another week and a half, we'll have the Canadian release. And about 2.5 weeks after that, we should have the video ready to go. Like it's
oh, nice.
A little bit every month. I'm doing a little Via Rail tour across from Toronto to Vancouver in March. That hasn't been announced yet, but we're doing it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, just little staggered things. So, and it will be, for the first time, available in the U.S. for airwaves, as well as we're doing some promotion overseas internationally for radio waves, which is, it's exciting. It's cool. It's different. I mean, Canada it's awesome to put
yep.
out your music in, but you never, at least me, you don't think about what it would be like if other people got a chance to really hear it. So it's a little test
sure.
of the waters. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And in this day with technology the way it is, you can spread the music a lot quicker. And it must be cool to come up with ideas beyond the traditional way of sending a song to radio, as you said, the Via Rail tour and so forth, to try to think of a unique approach to getting your music out there.
I believe you have to. They always say it's a unique package that gets noticed at a radio station contest, or
right.
it's a... it's a very interesting video that helps you get your crowdfunding for, people to support you financially to make something online. it's, you know, you've got to come up with different things. And, I mean, again, just countless hours of throwing ideas at the wall, and then finally you're like, okay, here's the four that we're going to, that we can do and that we will do.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to get to a lot more from you, and I want to let our listeners know they can head to marshalldane.com to learn more about you, and also they can listen to samples from Running Stop Signs as well as One of These Days, and they can also purchase the songs right off of iTunes. So we're going to play Alcohol Abuse now. One thing that stands out along with a catchy chorus is the intro. I love just that a cappella intro setting up the song.
I'm glad you dig it, because it was something I came up with in the studio on the spur of the moment. I said, listen, I really want to make like an a cappella intro. And they're like, well, what kind? And I'm like, well, how about this? Alcohol Abuse. And just really draw it out. And yeah, it just became kind of a, it was a fun little idea. And I'm glad you dig it, man. I had a lot of fun doing it. And it's a lot of fun live.
Awesome. Let's hear it now. Marshall Dane and Alcohol Abuse here on In the Country.
Alcohol abuse, shameful waste of precious
chicken wire in front of my face. Jack Daniels was falling like a rain on the stage. Then a fight broke down and a bouncer broke a bottle. Over all that noise, I heard somebody holler, alcohol abuse, shameful waste of precious booze. Name your pain, whatever you choose. Oh, highball, Bloody Mary, fuzzy navel, cooking cherry, mudslide, margarita, whiskey sour, straight tequila, screwdriver, hurricane, Shirley Temple down the drain. Every drop we lose is alcohol abuse. Well, the trouble escalated as the cops showed up. They busted through the doors, pulled out their handcuffs. Said, boys, you need some help, a little rehabilitation. We're running you in for misappropriation. Cooking cherry, mudslide, margarita, whiskey sour, straight tequila, screwdriver, hurricane, Shirley Temple down the drain. Every drop we lose is alcohol abuse. Right. Mixing low band, how's a Miller Lite, Budweiser, Newcastle, Harpoon, Lone Star, Blue Moon, Dos Equis, still Samuel Adams, gone to hell, highball, Bloody Mary, fuzzy navel, cooking cherry, mudslide, margarita, whiskey sour, straight tequila, screwdriver, hurricane, Shirley Temple down the drain. With every drop we lose,
a great new fun single from my guest Marshall Dane. It's called Alcohol Abuse. Be sure to call your local country radio station and ask them to play that song. Tell them you want to hear it. Man, it is a lot of fun, and as you said, in concert, that's got to be a nonstop entertainment.
Yeah, that's why I think also why we decided that it would be a great single, just because it has so much energy, and you know, it's going to be one of those cases where the audio is great on the record, and then you come out to the show and you really get the energy experience of how much, you know, more the, or just how much energy the live version of it can get exciting.
Yeah, for sure. And when I listen to that, you know, I hear a lot of country, obviously, the content of it and the style of it. There's a bit of rock in there as well. When you put together songs or when you choose songs, Marshall, are you consciously thinking, I should stay on this side of country? I should, you know, maybe I should try to push the envelope. Do you think about that, or do you just try to do the best version of any given song?
I think I try and do the best version of any given song, firstly. I think what is, I mean, fortunately, the producer I had for One of These Days and the producer I had, a different producer for Running Stop Signs, they both were able to capitalize on the energy they see me deliver the original acoustic and vocal version when we first make the work tape, or not the work tape, but the guide for the track. And based on that, I think we all just kind of agree, and same with the players when they come in. I think they're inspired to say, oh, yeah, you're rocking it up in this part, and then you're getting kind of soulful, groovy here when you break it down. Okay, got it. And then when you get to this part, you're kind of getting, there's a little gospel feel or something. So, you know, right off the top, you kind of get this little, not, oh, brother, where art thou, but a little bit of a, there's some kind of gospel-y funness about this. We're making it sound pretty, even though we're singing the words alcohol abuse.
That's
So I think, I think it kind of translates on its own to each player and then becomes what it becomes.
Now, in 2008, you made a trip to Nashville, and it may have been your first one. You can talk about that. But I understand when you went down there, you really got excited about songwriting and even learned a bit on that trip.
Yeah, my first trip to Nashville was in November of 2008. Actually, I forgot. I had to kind of go back for a second because the first writing trip was February of 2009, and it was set up via that November trip. And that was also after my first trip to the Canadian Country Music Awards, where I first discovered that my family really was the country music family. You know, not having looked at specific where you go on radio, kind of, you know, not politics, but those, you know, where they want to put you in genres. And going down to Nashville for the first time, I was blessed to be able to get in and meet and be introduced to some of the publishing companies down there on Music Row. And not only did I get a chance to meet these publishers, but they would, you know, talk to me about songs that their artists had written. They would play me songs that their artists had written. And I would get excited about, oh, listen to what this guy's talking about, you know. I love this vibe. Can I write with this person? You know, and all those new, all those, a bunch of firsts were happening to me during that trip. And, yeah, so, I mean, I learned a ton. The two biggest things I learned were about songwriting was, one, it's about a great hang. Have a good time. Have a good time, and therefore, if you don't write anything at all, you'll at least walk away as, maybe not someone that wasted time, you'll walk away as someone that, hey, man, we didn't get as much written as we thought because it just didn't come to us, but we had a really good time hanging out. So that was rule number one. And the other one that I learned on that first trip was keep your standards high and your expectations low. In other words, go into that writing session to write the best song you ever could write. But if you don't happen to get it, don't worry, because the fallback is it was all about a good hang. You had a good time. We'll do it again next round.
I like that. And if you have that good hang, as you said, you've built the relationship. You've had fun, and now the next time you're going to be even more relaxed, and that helps too, right? To be comfortable with that co-writer is very key.
100%. I mean, there's lots of great guys out there that you, once you, or you know, guys and girls, once you experience writing with a bunch of them, you realize the value of guys that you write well with, guys that you're comfortable with, you know, that kind of thing. And for the most part, there's, I don't think I've had any uncomfortable writing sessions. You know, but that's also a testament to the pros that write, you know. Yeah.
Have you ever thought, Marshall, about doing duets at any point or teaming up with someone, even if it's just on stage and not recording it? But are there people out there that you are excited about one day sharing the stage with or be going in the studio with?
Wow.
Putting you on the spot.
Yeah. You know, I don't. Straight up, my head's kind of always so buried in what I'm doing. I don't get a chance to hear who all the awesome new artists, I should say, are.
Sure.
So, I mean, my selection of newer, you know, possible female artists that I would love to do a duet with, I'm not too sure. But, I mean, like, for instance, Tara Oram, I would love to sing a duet
yeah.
with her.
Yeah,
you know, she's awesome. I know her as a friend, and you know, I think we'd do a good job of something. Would I love to sing a tune with someone like, you know, Leanne Rimes or Carrie Underwood? Sure. You know, would I love to get up there with Lady Antebellum and be the fourth person singing my own verse?
Yeah,
yeah, heck yeah.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's, I mean, I would love to do a song with Vince Gill, you know?
Yeah.
I could go forever as far as people I respect as vocalists and as performers that would just be such either a hoot or a soulful, you know, blast to perform
mm-hmm.
with. There's lots. I mean, Reba?
Yeah. Reba, for sure.
I'll sing Fancy with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. I just love the question because I always get excited when I see and hear a pairing of artists. Maybe I didn't, you know, an unexpected pairing or one I could say, hey, I can see that working. But it's just exciting, the two different performers coming together or a group and a performer and what they can create.
Yeah, it's always cool. I mean, that's why it's great when they do some of the extreme collaborations where you get two different genres, you know, rocking a tune together.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's also great when you see within your, you know, within your own kind of family some of the cool artists that they end up putting together. I mean, I was watching something with, what's his name, Roy Orbison and somebody else and Vince Gill and Linda Ronstadt. And I was looking at some old videos the other day and just falling in love.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I know. It's so amazing when you see those collaborations, people you respect and enjoy separately, and then they come together. It's quite something. We're going to turn now to another song from One of These Days, in fact, the title track. And this got quite a bit of airplay. I loved hearing this every time it came on the radio. And it's an up-tempo, positive song, free spirit kind of song. What can you tell us about this one, Marshall?
This song is a dear tune to me just because it was one of the first songs written. It was one of the first two songs written on a trip to Nashville in July of 2011. And it was right after, it was the beginning of me deciding I need to get prepped for another record. We're on year two and I need to be ready by year three to have something new together. And this track, it was a title that I had written down, just One of These Days, and I mean, it's, you know, been done before as far as the title, but in my mind, I wasn't saying, you know, one of these days, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. It was saying, no, this is one of these days. I'd gone through so much, again, another year of first, or 2 years of first, a new record, my first full-length production. I went on my first tour in the beginning of 2011 with Gord Bamford and Eric Pichette. I was just in so many different places. I was back being single again. That was different, you know, after a little bit of time. So all of a sudden, I didn't want to wait anymore. I was tired of, I really wanted to take on the next portion of my life by the reins and take
yep.
control of it and live every second. And that's how we ended up coming to the new record. That's, you know, again, that positive attitude, I think, is what helps
mm-hmm.
to forge through to making sure this new record happened. And One of These Days was all about taking advantage of today. We always say we're going to do something else. We talk all the time about taking a weekend off or doing this or building that or
yeah.
whatever it may be, fixing this around the house. And I was at that point in my life where I was no longer going to put stuff off. And I was going to wake up every day and make sure that, if you know, today is the day that we're going to pack our suitcase. We have 24 hours. Let's just go. We got enough money. We don't need more.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't have to be fancy. It
yeah.
just has to be. We just have to get it done. You know, visiting family, all those different things. So One of These Days was meant to be an empowering, encouraging, don't worry about yesterday. Today is a brand new day. Get out there and go.
And I love hearing these kind of songs, and I know when listeners, you know, have the radio on and they hear a song like this, it can get them out of that place where they might feel stuck because, you know, the song is inspiring them, it's catchy, the lyrics, and it can make a change in someone's life. Let's share it now, Marshall Dane, One of These Days on In the Country.
Come on, girl. Girl, we all always say someday it comes to leaving this town. It's always off in the future. It never seems to come around. I've got a few dollars saved up, and I've got the windows rolled down. I've got a tank full of dreams, and they're telling me there's no better time than now. This is one of these
great song from my guest, Marshall Day, and that is called One of These Days. It's the title track to that album, which you can get at through marshalldane.com as well as iTunes. And man, as I said, that is just a great song. It fits radio so well. It's just a fun song and a great message.
Hey, cheers, man. You know, now when I hear it, I always think of, 'cause I'm free falling. One of these days we've been waiting for.
Time to do a mashup.
Yeah, I should do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's great to hear something new in your song when you listen back to it. Love that one, and we've got another one from the album coming up as well. I want to talk, Marshall, about the Country Music Association of Ontario. They had their first award ceremony last year in Markham. Another one, their second, is coming up this May, the same location in Markham, Ontario. Very exciting. Last year you were nominated for Artist of the Year, Male Artist of the Year, as well as Album of the Year. How did that feel?
It's an exceptional feeling when you get support from anybody. And in this case, it felt like not just one person was trying to support whatever it is that I'm trying to do. It was a whole province. So, you know, if you're from America, it would be like having your whole state in your back corner saying, go, yeah. go, go, you know. And yeah. it was encouraging. It was uplifting. It made me feel even more positive about, you know, forging forward, pushing through all the times that, because there's obvious, you know, ups and downs to the business. And every once in a while, you know, you need somebody's foot to tap or someone to clap or someone to pat you on the back or someone to pick you up. And when they gave me that phone call, you know, it kind of blew my mind because I thought, wait a second, I just live in my little tiny apartment, my little tiny town, doing my little, you know, doing as best as I little tiny can. And
yep.
you guys noticed it? That's awesome. So I was very happy that the association, you know, took notice of what I was doing, and they put me in categories with, you know, exceptional artists. And I mean, it was a great feeling. It, you know, and also on top of that, I get to lean on them. You know, I can lean more into them. I mean, I could before too, but it gives you reason to say, wait a second, these associations are very important, and they're there mm-hmm. to help you. So, yeah, man, it's great. I'm thankful and blessed for that one.
That's so cool, and it was such a great award show last year, the way it was put together. Charlie Major is host, all the different acts. It ran so smoothly and was so entertaining. And, you know, it's just great to have that organization, as you say, behind us. And, you know, a big shout-out to the CMAO.
Yeah, right? I mean, the CMAO, they knocked it out of the park for their first award show.
It was classy.
It was a real gala event. It was, you know, people were dressed up, and the show was top drawer. So, yeah, man, great on them, and excellent that they're making themselves available to all of Canadian artists as well as the Ontario artists.
Yeah, it seems that country music artists I've talked to and just my exposure to it over the years, it's such a family. I mean, I'm sure in other genres that exist, but it just seems so much more in the country music world that artists support each other, look out for each other, and there's a real sense of family.
I was thinking of this just earlier when you were asking me another question in 2000, like about going to Nashville in 2008. How it went down for me was in 2007, the summer of, I was questioning where do guys go. Well, actually, it wasn't even then. It was I had been invited to L.A., to Los Angeles for the L.A. Music Awards in the, like, September, October, November of 2007. 2008, in the summer, I was wondering where do guys go that play guitar, acoustic guitar, and sing. And that's one thing I do. I can throw that hammer, you know, as effectively as anybody that's been doing it for, you know, the amount of shows that I've been trying to put on. And I thought, where do these people end up? Because I went to L.A. and it wasn't there. That was maybe, you know, rock guitar players maybe fit in better, but it didn't feel like a family. It didn't feel like the kind of institution, that's not the right word, but the kind of community that I wanted, that I wanted to put myself, move into. If I could buy a house, I want to buy it in a community that felt different. And so when I had, then all of a sudden the summer of 2008, I wrote this little 3-4 waltz tune. And I mean, of all the country songs I had written throughout my life, this one all of a sudden was like a beacon that said, Marshall, you may have to go somewhere else. You're not noticing it, but there's a big sign that says Nashville here. And it's not that Nashville was the answer. It was that the country music community was the answer.
Right.
And that's when, of course, I went to the CCMAs, and I wasn't there but 10 minutes, and I could feel it instantly in the room. I could feel that I belong totally here. I'm comfortable like I'm at a big family dinner, and ended up in the Gibson guitar room playing with a beautiful guitar player named Lindsay L. And then all of a sudden, one of the original guitar players from the Guess Who, Donnie McDougal, walks by and joins me and Lindsay in a song. Like we were playing some Eagles tune. It was just, instantly. I thought I was on candid camera and that somebody was going to jump out and say, just kidding. Let's go back to the Toronto.
Right.
So, it's a total community. And, I mean, just the vibe. I mean, that's what the MO, that's what the bottom line is for country music, I think, are those ethics and values and goodwill towards man kind of thing. And then it reflects in the listeners and the, you know, the music makers and the music listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure does. I want to turn to another song from that album, the third track we're going to be sharing on the show. And I love this one as well. It's more on the ballad side. It's got a very deep message to it, deep emotion to it, called I'll Be Your Whiskey. And this is, again, it's a great song. What can you tell us about this one, Marshall?
This song here is probably, to me, is one of the most powerful songs to sing. It's, I mean, even from the very intro, it's a very descriptive story of, you know, somebody walking up to your door and they're obviously leaning on something else. And the reality is that at the end of the day, you just, love will save your soul more than anything else. And in this case, it's just about a relationship where, you know, and it's not even a relationship yet. And the guy's saying, listen, you're not happy. This is not, you know, you're not at your best. What you're doing in your life isn't serving you any longer. In fact, it's hurting you. Just lay that bottle down and kiss me. I'll be your whiskey.
Yeah.
So it's a real, you know, it's somebody basically coming and saying, listen, I'll lift you up. I can hold on to you. I can help you out. I'll be your strong rock in your life. And that's
wow.
Really what the tune's about. But just like most of the songs on the record, it talks about alcohol.
That's right. There's a common theme.
Or it makes reference to
a couple. But it takes that spin on it, and as you said, it's an uplifting song, and they're saying, you know, you don't need the whiskey, I'll be your whiskey. And, I mean, you just explained it so eloquently there. And I'm sure people who've heard this song, and you may have heard back from some of them, this has had an impact on their lives. Maybe they were in a position similar to this, and it maybe got them through it.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that it would, because I know it does for me when I think about, you know, the times that you want to maybe lean a different direction and, you know, escape. And
yeah.
Then all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, hey, I noticed that you're struggling and you're trying to get out of whatever you're trying to, whatever hole you're in at the moment, here. And they put their hand out. And it's such a powerful feeling to know that other people relate to you, you know. And so when a song...
Yeah.
comes out, whether it's one of my tunes or when I'm hearing somebody else's song that I really relate to, you know, that's the bottom line, is I'm trying to provide a positive message so that the audience can say, okay, I'm not alone here. I've been exactly there. And yes,
definitely.
Whiskey does hurt a lot more.
Yeah, definitely. As you said there, it the audience isn't alone. People listening can hear this and know that that somebody else has gone through this and there is a way out. Let's share it now. It's a great song from my guest, Marshall Dane. I'll Be Your Whiskey on In the Country.
When the doorbell rang at 2 a.m., I knew we broke your heart again, and I'm getting tired seeing you cry. If it's the Jack beer in your hand, says you need a drinking friend again, but I've got something better this time. Baby, come on over here, let me dry your tears. I can take your pain away tonight. I'll be your witness.
And a great song from my guest, Marshall Dane, I'll Be Your Whiskey, here on In the Country. His website is marshalldane.com, and of course you can find songs from his first two albums on iTunes. Marshall, it's been such a pleasure sharing this time with you, getting to hear those tracks and getting to chat with you.
Brother, it's been my pleasure to talk to you once again, and yeah, I'd like to thank your listeners and you for having me out.
Up next, Ontario country artist, Crystal Dawn.
In the Country with Dave Woods has been broadcasting live from Ontario, Canada since 2009. Over the years, Dave has welcomed the biggest names and the newest voices of country music on his show. He grew up on country and embraces the past and present and gets excited about the new singers and songs played on the radio every day. Dave has interviewed country stars like Michelle Wright, Gord Banford, and Carolyn Don Johnson. If you enjoy hearing the stories behind your favorite songs or how a singer got their start, then tune in to In the Country with Dave Woods. He always gets to the heart of country music.
And we are back, and a big thank you to Marshall Dane. Always great to chat with him. Now I welcome Crystal Dawn to the show. Hey, Crystal.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing great this evening. How about yourself?
Wonderful. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's so great to have you here, and I've gotten to know you a bit online, to hear your voice, of course, which is great, and also to know that you are very passionate about singing.
Oh, I definitely am. I've been singing since I was 3, and I do it every day, all day, sometimes to the point where I annoy people, but it's just in me, so I love it.
That's amazing. At the age of 3, can you remember whether you remember it or people around you telling you, what were you singing, and were you, like, standing in the middle of the living room commanding attention?
Yeah, actually, I just got the old tapes that we had digitally mastered by the studio that I work with, Taurus Audio Recording Studio.
Right.
And I was singing a lot of Ricky Van Shelton, Dolly Parton, and I would be singing off of my grandma's karaoke machine and could barely speak properly, but of course I tried my hardest to get it out.
That's amazing. So your influences, you mentioned Ricky Van Shelton and some others there, they're obviously country influences, and can you take us back to those artists you were growing up listening to?
Oh, absolutely. Dolly and Kenny, back in the day when I was younger, I used to watch their show all the time. I wanted to be just like Dolly, as well as Crystal Gayle. I even grew my hair as long as hers, all the way down to my feet. And Lori Morgan was a big one for me back then, too. Still is to this day. She was great.
I love Lori Morgan's music. I mean, several songs come to mind, but one is Something in Red, which was so unique and so powerful.
Yeah, it was great. That's one of my favorites as well. And as a youngster, my grandparents surprised me with a trip out to see Lori Morgan and got to see her perform that live. And she must have changed 9 different outfits in that one song. I don't know how she did it, but she did it.
Pretty amazing. Now, songwriting, the song we're going to share shortly, Find My Way, you co-wrote this song. How long have you been writing songs?
Honestly, that was probably the first song I ever really tried writing. And ever since then, it's kind of taken off. I mean, you have your days where you sit down and you're like, okay, I'm going to write a song. I'm going to do it tonight. And then nothing comes to mind. Nothing's working. You scratch out the paper. You throw it away, and you get another one out, and you do it over again. Then there's nights like last weekend. I wrote a song within 20 minutes, and it's probably a new favorite of mine. So it just comes in spurts, but, you know, it's great to be able to do that.
And you enter a lot of competitions, as I can see online. People can check out your website, crystaldawnmusic.com, and YouTube, of course, is connected through there, and they can see you performing at some of these. Do you get pretty excited and nervous as well when you're about to go on stage at one of those shows?
You know what? Surprisingly, I do get very nervous. I mean, I've been on stage. I've done the band thing. I sing all the time. That doesn't bother me. But when it comes to a competition, I get the butterflies in my tummy all the time. So I always have to calm myself down. And as soon as I'm up on stage, though, it's like I'm in my bedroom and no one's out there. No one can see me. And I'm singing into my hairbrush again.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how it starts for singers, right? That kind of just on your own, you're imagining the stage one day in the crowd. And, of course, you choose cover songs, as people do for these competitions. Can you throw out a few of the cover songs you think that you do best that really suit your voice?
Yeah, I like to do a lot of Martina and Faith. Martina's Broken Wing, I did that, as well as Faith Hill's Cry. They're just emotional connected songs to me, and I love them. And when you feel that music and when you feel the lyrics, it just makes that much better of a performance.
Do you have a song, when you talk about feeling a song, that gets you emotional when you sing it or really moves you because maybe it's something you've been through or somebody around you, you know, can connect with the song?
I've got tons. Trying to think of one just off the top of my head now. Probably Faith Hill's When the Lights Go Down. It talks a little bit about, you know, we all put on these facades during the day, and then when you get home and you're alone and you start thinking, everything changes, you know? And it's so true for everyone. So that's probably one of the biggest ones for me.
Yeah, I love that one. That's a great emotional ballad from her. I asked Marshall earlier about duet partners. Do you have somebody, have you given any thought to this, whether it's even a big star that it might not happen, or, you know, whoever, is there somebody you would love to pair your voice with?
Yeah, I got a couple, actually. Marshall Dane would be one to do. That would be awesome time out there, because he has
great
a lot
choice.
Of energy out of his shows, right? And
yep.
Tim Hicks or Brett Kissel, just for the area guys around here, they would be great as well.
Yeah.
But if I could choose, it would be Keith Urban or Blake Shelton for sure.
great choices all around. We're going to get to your song, Find My Way, now, but tell us a bit about it, maybe the inspiration behind writing it. You co-wrote the song. Just something about the song before we let our listeners hear it.
Yeah, just true to form in most country songs, they usually have to deal with a past relationship, and this one is the same. but it's amazing how this song was about a past relationship that I had and how it's still relatable to things that are even happening in my life today. So it's great how a song can move from year to year and still connect with you on every level.
That's pretty amazing.
But it was just something to get out there.
And your co-writer is?
Matt Machado.
Awesome. Well, let's share the song now, and we'll come back and chat a bit more. This is Crystal Dawn and her song, Find My Way, on In the Country.
Thank you.
Brand new music from my guest, country artist Crystal Dawn. That is called Find My Way here on In the Country, and you can find her online at crystaldawnmusic.com. Crystal, it's been so great having you. It was short but very sweet. Enjoyed your company, and the song sounds great.
Thank you so much, Dave. I enjoyed my time with you. Thank you so much for having me on.
My guests this evening on this show have been two great Ontario country artists, Marshall Dane and Crystal Dawn. Thanks for tuning in, and for more country music interviews, be sure to head to inthecountryinterviews.com.